Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, today was the seventh consecutive season of 200 points from Mr. Mohamed Salah. If this is to be his last FPL season, if this is to be the end of Mo Salah and FPL for us forevermore, is he the best FPL asset ever to play the game? Big statement.
Ever to play the game?
I tweeted it just before we come on.
Are you right?
I saw that FPL put on Twitter, seventh consecutive season for Mo Salah in the 200 points club. Is he the best ever? Best ever FPL asset?
I don't know if we'd go best ever.
Why? Who else is then?
Oh, there's been loads of other really, really great assets.
No.
That is a huge statement from you, Bonfield.
Right.
And
tell me who's better.
It's not one of those statements that you can just go, bang, I'm going to throw that at you and then expect an answer to. That requires actual careful thought and consideration.
Right, well, I'm going to find the tweet that I just put out. So you can tell me, of these others, who is better than Mo Salah?
There's loads. There's like Rooney was brilliant in FPL.
Yeah.
Lampard was brilliant in FPL.
Most
Van Nistelrooy.
Most consecutive season.
No, not Van Nistelrooy, Van Persie.
It doesn't even have to be consecutive, actually. Most 200-point seasons in at joint fourth. Eden Hazard.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
But only four 200-point seasons. Only four, Sam. Just think of that. Only four. Still amazing. Amazing FPL assets, but only four 200-point seasons. In at third with five 200-point seasons. Who are we saying?
I don't know, Lee.
Harry Kane. Oh. Harry Kane, not a bad FPL asset on his day.
Well, what is it you said about Harry Kane?
Finishes a player. Not one of the German league, is he? Five 200-point seasons. Second in that list with six 200-point seasons. Who is it? Chelsea midfielder.
Lampard.
Mr. Frank Lampard. Six 200-point seasons. But Mohamed Salah, after today's performance, and we're going to get to talk about the FPL family derby in a minute, seven seasons, and not just that, seven consecutive seasons for us in FPL.
But
at 200,
I just
points,
don't think you can.
He is the GOAT, and I will not have it any other way.
I don't think you can band around best ever. He might be.
You can band what
he
you
might
like.
Be. Oh. He might be. However, I think that actually needs some careful thought, because it's not just about the amount of points you get, is it?
Of course it is.
No, it's
FPL.
Not.
What else is it about?
No, it isn't. It's about. So consistency is one of them. Consistency
yes.
of points, that is definitely one of them. And obviously
yeah.
with Salah,
seven
you'd get a big tick.
Seven consecutive seasons, yeah.
You'd definitely get a big tick. And by the way, I'm not disagreeing with you that he is the best. I'm just saying, I don't think you can ask me within 30 seconds of this stream starting if he's the best ever asset with no prior warning, because it's been going on for rather a long time. And I also think that for me, if I was naming my best ever FPL asset, they'd be based upon things like the amount of returns they had in my team. Now obviously Salah would be high up on that list, but there are other players that have like hauled in my team and I've got like great memories of having.
What you say, like Michu is a better FPL asset?
No, of course not. Don't be ridiculous. You're in a stupid mood tonight.
I'm not in a stupid mood. I'm in a fine mood, thank you very much. Nice to see you all, everybody. We are going to talk about the FPL family derby. I'm looking forward to that one.
Oh, I bet you are.
Not that it meant a lot. It felt like a nice Sunday afternoon kickabout, didn't it?
Did it?
A good old thoroughly entertaining bit of Barclays on a Sunday afternoon. I did at no stage feel like it was like it had any jeopardy, that game. Like, there's nothing on it for us. They were trying to build this narrative of, you know, Villa have just lost, so maybe there's a sniff of Europe for Spurs, but come on, really?
No, hang on. It's not Europe, is it? It's Champions League.
All right, well, a sniff of Champions League. There's not, is there, realistically? Let's be honest. We're going to be third. Third's locked in now. You're going to be fifth or sixth, something like that, probably. Europa League or maybe Conference League, I don't know. And that's the way it is. It never felt like there was much jeopardy in that game today, did there, really? I'll be honest, did there? Okay, we better move on. I'm getting looked. Let's say hello to a few people, then we'll get on with the games. We'll do our teams and all that sort of good stuff. Simon is in. Nigel the Crab, nice to see you, mate. Good to see you in the live chat as usual. Kingdom FC is in. Kingdom FC is Lee the best ever FPL banter commentator?
No.
Don't think so.
I'll give you a straight answer to that.
Don't think so. FPL Harry's in and moderating Lee's on the sofa tonight. Listen, it's all fine. I cheered one of the goals, right?
No.
What? How can you say that? The one goal that I was up on my feet for was the Harvey Elliott strike, which, by the way, was a banger. So I'm up for that. The rest, I was like, you know, good. I'm glad we're winning, but meant nothing to us. We're third. That's what it is, what it is. Did I cheer any of the other goals that upset you at all during that game?
Oh, I'm very upset.
Yeah, but by your team, not by me.
I know. I wasn't upset by the game. I'm upset by this random start to this live stream, which has been bonkers.
Wow. Maybe you should be a bit upset with your team because our 4-0 down, they were dreadful.
Yeah.
Okay. Lalex is in. Nice to see you. Vass is here. Phil B, nice to see you, Phil. Best ever. Surely Lee has to factor in cost and value.
Correct.
And money.
That's what I'm
surely.
Saying. There's 1,000 factors at play here. You can't just come on a live stream in 30 seconds and go, who's the best ever FPL asset? If you'd have said to me 20 minutes ago while we were sat on the sofa, the first thing I'm going to say to you, Sam, is who's the best ever FPL asset?
Yeah.
I would have then had time to think about that. And come up with a plan based upon all of those things that you've just said.
I don't think it needs any thought. It does. Of course it needs thought. Boj 11 is in. Good morning, FPL family and everyone else. Must be the morning where you are, Boj. Good morning. Nice to see you. Sian is in. Hey, Sian. How are we doing? She's just put the... Sian is a member here at the FPL family YouTube
she's
channel.
One of our patrons.
That means that Sian gets access to some custom emojis which are being spammed by a few of the members here in the chat of Sam just giving the death stare.
Well, that to be honest, you deserved it after the start of this stream. My mic won't stand up as well. I don't know what's going on here.
You need to tighten it up in the
thing. Oh my God, you are.
What? Good Lord. George, thank you for the super chat. Nice to see you, mate. Morning, Lee and Sam. Hope you're both doing okay.
Morning. Where is everyone? I thought George is in Brentford.
George
is at Brentford.
I don't know. George, I'm pretty sure, lives in the UK. Applause for Sam. Since our Zoom, he's got his fourth green arrow in a row. Thank you, Sam, the goat of FPL. There we go.
Well,
it's not Mo, it's you.
Yeah, you see, I deserve that title, not Mo Salah.
Torben is in. Nice to see you, Torben. Good evening, Bombfields. Just 1 point behind you. Well, which one of us are you behind? Matthew Knights is in, spamming the jam emoji. Love to see it. Love to see it. Wilco is here. How are we doing, mate? Nice to see you.
Real Wilco or fake Wilco?
No, real Wilco, I think.
Okay, good.
Real Wilco.
It's impossible to know, really.
Let's have none of that nonsense again this evening.
You were the one that asked for it last week.
I didn't ask for it.
Yes, you did.
I certainly didn't ask for it.
You said, does someone want a fake being Wilco? And then
I'm not sure that happened.
Suddenly, there was a fake Wilco.
I'm not sure that happened. Who else we got? We've got Shahid is in from Kenya. Hello, Shahid. Nice to see you.
Kenya?
Gary Worthington is in. He just says grumpy. Must be a Spurs fan. Nice to see you, Gary. JJ is in.
Why it's must he be a Spurs 4:05
a.m. for JJ. So listen, lots of you guys tuning in.
Why is everyone up too early on a Monday morning?
All over the world. And our friend Brian Springer is in. And we know where Brian is. I think he's in like Trinidad and Tobago or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's the Caribbean, I think.
This is absolute. You guys, honestly.
All over the world.
Always joining us.
Can I come and stay with one of you? Oh, some random part of the world?
Well, they'll ask you questions like, who's the best FPL asset ever?
They won't. They actually won't. They'd be nice. Or if they're going to, they'll say, Sam, in a minute when we go on a live stream, I'm going to ask you this question. What do you think? Think about it.
Get in the chat, guys. If you are in the 100 Club this week, if you are an FPL Centurion this week, and there will be a few, then let us know your score. If you've got over 100, then fair play.
Have you finished? Are you done?
Fair play. I'm done. I'm out.
Because I've still got one to go.
And I'm under 100, so it's not great.
I've got one to go. One little legend left to play tomorrow.
You've still got the man Mateta, haven't you, to go tomorrow?
Yeah, he's going to get another 24-point
haul. Well, it would not surprise me. It would not surprise me. Joseph Murray, thank you for the super chat. Hey, Sam and Lee. Good result today for LFC on 86 after a hit. He says something about after that performance. I think he's giving you a virtual hug after that performance today is what he's saying. But 86 after a hit.
I must be coming across very grumpy. I'm not. I'm fine. It was a bad performance, but I'm actually fine.
She's actually fine, guys.
I'm just annoyed with you.
That meme.
For being ridiculous in the beginning of the stream.
What's the meme with the dog sitting in the fire room? I'm fine. It's fine. Or Ross from Friends. I'm fine. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Let's get on with this. Right, let's talk about the FPL family derby, and let's get on with that first. Go on then, I've got loads to say.
I bet you have.
You go first.
No, go on, dear, you go first. You tell us all your loads to say.
All right, I thought it was a pretty average game. I thought it was a nice kickabout on a Sunday afternoon. There was no jeopardy. I didn't feel much for the game at all. I was pleased we won. I don't really care we won. We did a pretty good job of doing what we've done in recent times, which is get into cruise control and then just sit back and just forget that there's a game going on and lose two goals. I can't for the life of me understand why Richarlison didn't start, because I thought Spurs were a million times better when Richarlison went into the middle and caused actually some, well, caused the defence to do stuff rather than just cruise through the game as they were before. Yeah, it was like, it fine, we won, good, means nothing. But for Spurs, I think it more or less kills you off for Champions League. Elliot, great goal. I thought it was one of Gakpo's best performances in Liverpool shirt.
Did you?
Am I getting any Liverpool players for next week? No. Am I going to get any additional Spurs? Because I'm on two already. No. And I'm probably not going to sell them either. So I'm just going to have Son and Porro. I'm not backing a Spurs clean sheet maybe ever again. Son got his goal, yeah. But it was a pretty inept performance. Certainly in the first half, he was awful. And it was only when Richarlison came on and he went left. And actually, it was Richarlison that was the catalyst for those two goals. No doubt about it. I thought Endo had a good game in the middle. When the kid Bosetic come on, good to see him back, because I think he's a quality player. But was way off it, right? And he would be, because he's been out for ages, way off of it. So he came in and we lost a couple of goals. Could have been worse, but in the end, 4-2. So yeah, that's how I feel about it. A bit kind of meh. What do you think?
Okay. The Spurs were terrible in the first half. Really, agreed. Really terrible. We started the game quite well, actually, the first part of the match. I didn't interrupt you when you were talking.
Go on.
So don't be rude.
Go on.
For the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, I actually didn't think we were too bad. We played quite well, but we just had no end product. There was a lot of nice passing, a lot of movement that was good. No end product. And partly that's because Son's just not a number nine. And we've seen that so many times over the last few weeks. He is not comfortable in that position. He does not play well in that position, particularly if there isn't enough creativity around him. And today, there was not enough creativity around him for him to be successful in that number nine spot. And whoever's fault that was remains to be seen. I think partly it was because we weren't moving wide. Most of the time we were trying to go through the middle. And against lesser opposition than Liverpool, you can go through the middle and you can successfully take the ball through them. And that's how we like to play. Against teams like Liverpool, like Arsenal the other week, like Chelsea in midweek, you have to be able to change up the way that you're attacking. And that's just something that Spurs have really lacked in recent weeks. It's been constantly trying to do the same thing over and over and over again. It's the first sign of madness in many ways, isn't it? Like, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working.
He said that all year.
Yes, but I think but we have seen that hasn't been the case in previous matches. And it depends upon the personnel that are on the pitch. Because what we saw in the second half, when Richarlison came on and Maddison came on, is a change in the way that we were playing. And the balls were going out wide. And the balls were going out wide because Brennan Johnson was then back in his preferred position out on the right. Son was back out on the left where he is more effective. And so we didn't widen the play by a huge amount because Son doesn't want to go right out to the touchline. But it just widened the play ever so slightly. And by having that little bit of extra width on either side, it enabled Spurs to move the ball better through the Liverpool midfield and through the defence. And by putting Richarlison in the number nine, we had a proper striker who was in the right position, because Son, half the game he wasn't even in the box, which if you're the number nine, you have to be close to the box. You can't be dropping back in the same way that he was.
What was Ange thinking then in the first half? Was he thinking he wants to get Son in behind our high line or whatever?
No, I think mostly it's because Richarlison has been out for a long time and he's not... I don't think he's able to play more than 60 minutes at the moment. We saw that against Chelsea.
Start him and bring him off then, surely.
Well, that's what he did against Chelsea and it didn't work so well.
Right.
But against Arsenal, he was so effective off the bench, made such a difference when he brought him on, that I think that's what he was going for. And I think if you look... When he brought Richarlison on, we were 3-0 down. Now, arguably, I'd have done it earlier. I'd have brought him on when we were 2-0 down. But he was trying to bring him on at 3-0 down, and you scored just as we were making that substitution, which was frustrating because at 4-0 down, it's a much harder climb back. And now, we obviously get the goal. We then got another goal. We could have had a third, actually. Son got into a really nice position and could have scored again. It's a complicated one with Spurs because, obviously, the next couple of games now... The double game week that they have coming up next, it's got Burnley in it, and Burnley can and will likely concede. That's our last home game of this. Oh, no, it's not. Man City is our last home game of the season. It's our penultimate home game of the season. So I would expect that Spurs will be up for changing the narrative that we've seen lately, and there's an opportunity for us to do that. Then obviously it's the game against Man City, and then finally on the final day of the season it's away at Sheffield United. Now, my personal view, and I've been saying this for a number of weeks now, is that I just don't think the Spurs defence is worth investing in. Full stop, capital letter, move on.
Yeah.
I don't like the Porro pick either, particularly. And that's nothing to do with Pedro Porro, because he is involved in the attacking play.
You're not going to sell him, though, if you've got him, are you?
No, but people will be thinking about buying, particularly with injuries to key defenders that we have going on at the moment. Like, we lost another defender, apparently, in Harry Maguire, if you're listening to the
rumours
that are
going on.
He's out
for a bit, yes, I've heard.
So, you know, if we're losing another defender, add him to the injury portfolio of Shaw and Van Heek and all of these other people that we were, maybe Gusto, we don't know about him yet. You've got this whole heap of defenders that are injured at the moment, and people will be looking at, how do I invest in a defence for the double game week? Now, my honest opinion is the Spurs defence is just not worth it. There's not going to be... I don't even see a clean sheet against Burnley. I certainly don't see one away at Sheffield United on the final day of the season in their last Premier League match.
So who would you buy from Spurs then for the double? Would you take a punt on Richarlison?
If I had no Spurs, I'd buy Richarlison over Son. Mm. I don't think that Richarlison will get more than 60 minutes in either of those two matches across the double.
The thing with Son is, though, we've already seen last week that he's on penalties. Even if he has a bad game like he did today, he can still pop up with a goal.
He can. But
he's one of them sort of players. He just gets the points, doesn't he?
But in reality, he only popped up with that goal because Richarlison came on and changed the way that we were playing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that if you've got Son, you hold. If you've got Porro, you hold. Whoever you've got at Spurs, I think you just keep hold of them. If you've got Van de Ven or Romero or whoever, fine, keep them. If you're looking to invest, looking at the teams that have got a double, Chelsea are suddenly finding a bit of form. The last couple of weeks, they've looked better.
No doubt.
More on them in a bit. So maybe there's some assets that you can go to there. You've got Man City, obviously, who again threw away another clean sheet this weekend, but you could go there. There'll be a lot of managers like myself that are doubled up on the Arsenal defence and were thinking about, do I make a change there because they don't have a double game week and I've got my bench boost and you want to max that out? I think what we've seen over the last few weeks is that I'm going to stick with my two Arsenal defenders through game week 37,
yeah,
because I just don't see that there's much value across the rest of the defenders in the league right now.
Too good.
The ones that have got doubles anyway.
Too good. All right, let's just remind ourselves briefly of those Spurs fixtures. There they are. So Burnley at home and Manchester City at home in 37. And then Sheffield United away on the final day. So there's two real plum fixtures there, with City in the middle. So it's not like, you know, I don't want to put people off Spurs, right? And if you've got them, you're certainly not selling ahead of a double game week. But I, for one, I'm not going to be adding. I've got Porro, I've got Son. That's probably enough. And I don't think I want to do anything other than stick with those two. But for Liverpool, yeah, not going to be touching them, I don't think. No double game week. Not a lot to fight for. Some nice goals today, but you know, without the double game week, I don't think you're going there, are you? I don't think you're going there.
No.
Let's go and talk about you touched on Arsenal there a second ago. I do want to talk about this game because no double game week for Arsenal, but as you rightly say, and I think I agree, you've got to just don't overlook them. I mean, they are so good at the minute, and they are going to be one of the best Premier League defences to, in my opinion, never win a league, right? Because I do think City are going to win it.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's in their hands. I don't see City dropping any points. I don't see Arsenal dropping any points. And if I see both of those scenarios out, then, you know, City are champions. But Arsenal are going to run them close. And I have to say, this game, this 3-0, flattered Bournemouth massively. It could have been 3-0 after half an hour in this game. They absolutely battered them, Arsenal.
They did.
And the way they created, they were a bit wasteful, no doubt about it, but just the way they created was just unbelievably good. It was a brilliant performance from Arsenal.
But it has been week upon week upon week for weeks now.
Absolutely. It's been so, so good. Since that winter break where they went out to Dubai and did like a bit of warm weather training camp, they've come back and they came back immediately and beat us 3-1, which I think was our only second defeat, first real defeat of the season, because the first defeat was at your place, which was a joke, wasn't it? But Arsenal have been absolutely unreal, and I know he's got a goal and assist here today on this game for Arsenal 3 Bournemouth 0, but his overall performance by Declan Rice, it's one of the best midfield performances I've seen this season. It was unbelievably good.
It's funny though, isn't it, with Declan Rice, because over the course of this season, I think I could probably count on one hand the amount of times we've spoken about Rice on one of these live streams. Yet he has been fantastic for Arsenal this season. And actually, his FPL stats are really, really nice. He's done incredibly well. And because there's been so many other options at Arsenal, because the defence have been absolutely incredible all season. So you've either had Raya or you've had Gabriel, you've had Wilde, you've had Saliba. More likely you've had two of those, some sort of combination of two of those guys. And then you've had a Saka in there too. It's meant that you just haven't had that additional Arsenal spot to go for a punt on somebody like Declan Rice. And that's also meant that people haven't really gone for Havertz in their droves either, because again, there hasn't been the numbers, because you can only have three from each team. Arsenal would have been one of those teams, I think, that if you could have this season, you would have...
You'd have loads of them, wouldn't
you? Yeah, you would, absolutely.
More underlying BPS than Saka this week. Rice got 40 compared to Saka's 34. He was, let's see, joint fifth with Salah. So Rice got the same as Salah this week. It was just an all-round brilliant performance. And his goal typified the attitude that he gives to that team and there's something extra about the kind of leadership and drive that he's given that team, because 100%. 97th minute, they're 2-0 up at home to Bournemouth. You would absolutely forgive him for just sitting in midfield and not making the lung-bursting run that he made into the box to receive that ball and then slot it past the keeper like a Frank Lampard. It's unbelievably good, Rice. And I think, you know, he deserves to be in a league-winning team, but I don't think he's going
to
be.
And I must admit, as a Gabriel owner, I felt a bit unlucky not to have got a goal out of him in this one as well, because he could have...
He scored a belter, didn't he? He scored a belter, which was just offside.
So I felt a bit unfortunate that I didn't get an attacking return out of him as well. But, you know, obviously Gabriel and Saliba both coming in with a clean sheet for me, Saka with the penalty. Couldn't really ask a lot more of my Arsenal assets. They've been constantly performing well. And at a time where a lot of managers sold Arsenal assets on their wild card, they've been a bit of a beacon of light, actually, in my team. Because they've consistently continued to perform to a really high standard.
Well, for sure, that was a mistake I made on my game week 35 wild card, as many other wild carders did. I sold Saka in favour of a double game weeker. So I'm hoping that's going to pay off next week, right? It needs to, because Saka's punished in the last couple of weeks since we all sold him, or certainly since I sold him. But I did bring an Arsenal player back in for this week. I thought that Bournemouth at home game looked at the sort of the form of both sides and thought, I cannot go into that with just two Arsenal defenders. I have to have a midfielder. And I rolled the dice a little bit. For sure, the obvious option would have been to go with Saka, and I had the money to go with Saka. I didn't. I went with Havertz. Because I just wanted to play the game a bit, right? Yeah. I wanted to play the game, right? We're here to play FPL. It would have been very obvious for me to go for Saka. And when you look at it in the cold light of day, you go, all right, well, Saka's lucky because he's got the pen and some bonus points. I can tell you now, he was not lucky. He had tons
of... He was very unlucky.
He could have had more. The Havertz assist is actually, I think, a bit lucky. I'm not convinced that's a penalty, really. I don't think
it's one of those, I think, isn't it, that once it's given on field.
Yeah. He's kind of left his foot in and he's bought it a little bit, I think. You can see why it's given. I'm not digging
it out,
like
the Vardiol Ain't Nori one.
Yeah, well, that's worse because Vardiol's actually just crashed into Ain't Nori. And somehow that's a penalty.
My point is that when it's given, the chances of it being overturned are much smaller.
Yeah. And we're starting to see that now, aren't we, with VAR? We're starting to see, you know, not VAR look at it and go, well, what's the right decision? They're looking at it and going, well...
Is it an obvious mistake?
Is the ref's decision a real super clanger? And how high is the bar? Which is just... It's the wrong way to use VAR, in my opinion. But, you know, what's right with VAR? So anyway, Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0. You're going into double game week 37 with how many Arsenal then?
Three.
Keep your three. Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same. I'm not going to sell Havertz, you know.
No.
Going to keep it.
I just think that Arsenal and Man City, but particularly Arsenal, have been so impressive this season consistently. And I think that's the thing with Man City, have had peaks and troughs this season, and there have been moments where... Yeah. They've been less impressive to watch, but they've somehow got the result. Whereas Arsenal, every time I watch them, I'm impressed by them. Every performance is good, and they are not doing what they did a couple of seasons ago where they just collapsed right at the end. They are...
Is that because they're chasing, though, rather than maybe they've got a lead to... And I know they've got a lead, but, you know, if Man City win their games in hand, then...
Maybe. Maybe there is an element of that. Maybe there's an element of...
They feel like they're the ones hunting.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. But I also think that they're they're older, and I know that that sounds ridiculous, but they've been there once. Like when they were there the first time and they just collapsed in the way that they did at the end of that season, they hadn't been there before, and the manager hadn't been there before in that environment. Yeah. And I think they learned a lot from it, and they're mentally a lot stronger now. You can see that about Arsenal. And, you know, I think sometimes as FPL managers, we get absolutely blindsided by double game weeks, and we kind of go, oh, you know, Spurs have got this lovely double game week coming up, and that's potentially, that's 180 minutes that Pedro Porro might get.
Yeah.
But he could easily get four. Yeah. Whereas I look across at Gabriel, Ben White, and I think, well, they can get a clean sheet in that game. Not only can they get a clean sheet, but they both got this huge levels of attacking threat, and therefore there could be goals in it for them as well. So the number of minutes that they got, really, it's important, and it's something that we shouldn't overlook, but it's also something you should weigh up in comparison to the player that you're thinking about selling to bring in this other asset.
Yeah. Odegaard, by the way, if you own him, third for XG underachievers, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area this week. So a little bit unlucky, Odegaard owners, if you did take a bit of a punt on him. I have to say, having bought in Havertz this week as a bit of a, you know, playing the game and not getting Saka.
Did you think about Odegaard, by the way?
No, I didn't really. That's interesting. I didn't. I was always between Saka and Havertz, and I wanted to roll the dice. I nearly rolled the dice significantly.
Yeah, you did.
And nearly captain Havertz.
I rolled the dice significantly.
And I'm really glad that I didn't captain Havertz, because the man that I did captain got four bloody goals. Erling Haaland, if you thought that a few weeks ago he was out of form, then forget it. Absolutely bang back in form. And Pep came out afterwards, didn't he, and said something, words to that effect. You know, he's just on fire at the minute. Yeah. He's just incredible right now. So I think, I don't know whether it was, that sort of dip, if we can call it that, in form a few weeks back, was just to let everybody else catch up with Golden Boot. It's like, come on, Cole, you have a few goals.
Don't be silly.
Ollie, you have a few goals as well. And then he's just out here banging four past Wolves. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think, for me, this was the game that really, I couldn't watch the end of it. It really, really triggered me. And
yeah. You didn't captain Havertz, just for clarity, right?
I didn't captain Havertz, no.
You didn't captain
Haaland. Yeah. So I sat on the pod last week and we were talking about how actually everybody's teams, regardless of whether you've wildcarded or not recently, most people's teams are looking quite similar at the moment because we're all building towards the same double game week. And I looked at my team for this week and thought, what's the... Kelly was 30 points ahead of me. And I was like, what can I do to get a big chunk of that done? And the only realistic option is to go with some slightly different captaincy picks.
Yeah.
I tried it last week with the Sun over Palmer thing. Hoped that might work better than it did. It was the right decision by 1 point, but nonetheless, it was a roll of the dice then. And this week I thought, I'm a roll of the dice again, because Man City, there's so many of them that are good assets there. So I picked Foden over Haaland. In the end, it was a total disaster.
But you played the game. I got love for that. That's no problem.
No, it's not a problem. And actually, when I looked at it after this, I was so frustrated by it because I was like, of all the weeks for Haaland to get four goals, why not last week?
Equally, you wouldn't have done it in game week 16, right? It's because
doing it now because I've got a couple of game weeks to go. Yeah, exactly. Totally. Our littlest one's away at the moment. So I took Matt, I was like, Max, come on, you can't cook the dinner. So we went and cooked the dinner. And then afterwards, I went and looked at live FPL and I was like, actually, in the cold light of day, that cost me 8K in rank. So it wasn't rank killing in the way that I'd, in my head, that was like season ending. It wasn't. It's just an irritation more than anything else, because it will mean I won't catch her now, because she obviously also had Nico Jackson today, so that's hurt me more. But I think for me, this is what FPL is about at the last point of the season. It's about trying things to try and secure rank, and sometimes they'll pay off and sometimes they won't pay off. And
is there any reason you've been playing FPL like that this season? Like you've been very focused on beating rivals rather than playing against yourself and getting rank.
Yeah, but Norm, I never chase. Like, realistically, I'm never chasing. Like, that sounds really big-headed thing to say, but I don't mean it like that. But in FPL, for the last 7 years, I haven't been chasing. I haven't chased you. I haven't chased Kelly or Jules or any of the other I'm always chasing Harry because he's a legend. But
we're all chasing Harry.
But we're all chasing Harry the whole game. So, but I'm never usually in a position where I'm not winning my mini leagues by this point. So coming into the back end of the season, I have played my game all the way. I haven't been actively chasing or making rash decisions right up until game week 34, where I bottled it, didn't I? Because I wanted to go for Mateta. Mm. I didn't. I went Salah because I was so worried about overall rank. And coming out of that one, I was like, I just have to be a little bit, and I am a bit more of a risk taker in FPL generally anyway. I like to make rogue choices and bring in different players. And this season I have done that and it's been a bit of a slog. If you remember up until Christmas, I was having an absolute storm of a season. I was doing incredibly well. And then Christmas period just killed me off.
The opposite last year, if I remember right.
It was the exact opposite last year. And I had at Christmas, it really went well. But this year at Christmas, it really hurt. I don't quite know what went wrong with my team over Christmas. I had a lot of injuries. I had a lot of problems. And 50-50 decisions went badly, like the Foden over KDB one. Mm. That went really badly at that point. So I think it's just at this point of the season where I'm not happy with my overall rank. I'm not happy with where I am in my leagues. But if I continue to just captain Haaland every week, I'm never going to be happy with it because it's never going to get me the gains that I need because that's what everyone else around me is doing and everyone else targeting the same players. So I have to be a little bit...
You got to play the game.
I have to be a little bit bold and I have to make some decisions and sometimes they'll work. And this week, they massively didn't.
Tell me about your three Manchester City assets then for next week.
Well, that's the thing. Well, three of them did return. So obviously Foden did get me an assist. It wasn't what I wanted, but, you know, nonetheless, Haaland is my second. And I bought in Vardiol this week, which went well. We picked up the assist because he won the penalty.
He's the defender to have. If you've only got two City and you want to go for a third and it's a defender, I think Vardiol's the one to have. He was just getting forward all the time, wasn't he?
He was getting a lot of
attack.
I think
the assist's a bit jammy, by the way.
I do.
I think he fouled Ait Nouri.
Yeah, probably. But I'll take it and run for the hills. Yeah, particularly when the clean sheet went. I was like, oh my God. It's
that
another clean sheet going.
Such an Edison thing to do, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was really annoying.
That guy. I wonder how City fans really feel about him, you know? Because he is a top keeper. There's no doubt about it. And he does a lot with his feet, and I understand all of that. But goodness me,
there's a lot of mistakes. But then when they're scoring 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 goals, it doesn't. You know, to them, it's a frustration, right? No clean sheet, but it's not the end of the world.
Just while we're on goalkeepers, Sam, and before you move on to the next one, David Toft's come in with a super chat. Thank you, David. He says, thoughts on Dubravka for double game week 37.
I'd be worried.
Yeah, Pope is a concern because Pope is, I think, going to be coming back.
He was on the bench.
We will do Newcastle. Why don't we do Newcastle next after this? Because they are absolutely in our thoughts for game week 37, no doubt. But let's finish on the Man City narrative.
The one thing I will say that I was pleased. So obviously, I think if you've got Man City, for me, two attacking, one from each position is the way I would go. A defender, a midfielder and a forward. You want to pick Kevin De Bruyne over Foden, fine. If you want to pick Foden over KDB, fine. I think there'll be much of a match between
both
now
together?
And the end of the season. Personally, not for me, just because I think you can get five other midfielders. I think there are other picks in the midfield. I just have one. Obviously, Haaland, and I'd go with Vardiol at the back. Or if you don't have space for Vardiol at the back, although quite why you wouldn't, I don't know, because defenders are dropping like flies right now, aren't they? So they would be my picks. What I was pleased about, just very briefly, because I don't think we're going to spend much time talking about Wolves, was that Ait Nouri made the start, which was pleasing because obviously he's got a nice-ish fixture next week. And that's one less issue that I need to deal with for my bench boost because I'm quite happy for him to be on my bench. I don't necessarily love that, but I also don't hate it as a single game week fixture. As I've still got that flag on Gusto as well, and we'll talk about Chelsea in a little while, having Ait Nouri be available for that one is quite important because that's potentially saving another points here.
Yeah, Palace at home for Ait Nouri next week. And then obviously that trip to Anfield for Klopp's last game in 38, which is going to be an emotional cauldron for the Wolves to go into, isn't it? No doubt about it. But Palace at home looks
okay. It's just
one less
issue, isn't it?
Looks okay. Although I do want to see how Palace play tomorrow. I think they're in decent form. So it's not... I wouldn't necessarily say I'd have Ait Nouri nailed on for a clean sheet there. But like you say, he's there. He's got some minutes, so it's all good. It's all good.
So, you know.
Anything else to say on City before we move on, other than just Haaland now for captaincy next week? I think it's... Let's do it a bit later, because there's definitely options for next week, obviously, because it's a double game week. But that yesterday... Was it today or yesterday? Yesterday.
Yesterday.
That performance from Haaland yesterday is almost a bit like... Just got to go with him, haven't you, for a double?
I don't know. But, I might roll the dice again.
Again, it depends on, where you are with your leagues and stuff. Let's do, I said we'd do Newcastle. Let's do that. Burnley 1, Newcastle 4. Another game in which highly owned defenders concede the odd goal in a hammering. And this one, actually, for us Dan Burn owners, was even worse because the Edison flapping about and the Huang goal was one thing. But this Burnley goal was so avoidable. Like, Richie, what's he doing giving away that corner that they score for? He just doesn't need to give that corner away. Even, like, as he gives it away, he turns to the Newcastle fans and says, sorry about that. And I'm like, as I was watching it, I'm just like, if something comes of this, Richie, you're off my Christmas card list. But, and what happens? 4-1. Couldn't believe it.
Honestly, though, I mean, what choice are we down to now with Newcastle's defence? Like, I'm not being funny, but it did not surprise me at all to see a clean sheet not stick for Newcastle, because
Tom Cruise control this game.
I know, but I know Dubravka's been really good. This isn't about Dubravka, but the back line is a hodgepodge. It's not anywhere near the first choice back line that Eddie Howe would arguably want to put out. No, it's got Matt Ritchie in it, for goodness sake, who hasn't basically played any football for about 4 years. Like, we are at a point where it's Dan Burn and anyone else that's got a pair of boots. That's where we are with the Newcastle defence. So,
as Wilco's saying that, that's a great comment. That defenders have been filth this season.
They're just ridiculous.
Have been absolute just rubbish. If you look at the average goals per game, it's over 3. I think it's like 3.2 or something this season, which is way higher.
It's way higher
than other seasons. Yeah. And you can talk about extra playing time and 10 minutes injury time all the time. You can talk about VAR, or you can just talk about the fact that, we have more attack-minded managers in the league as well. That's something that I think the Premier League have come out with as well. But I agree with you, Wilco. Defenders in FPL this year have been utter filth. We haven't really had like a Trent where you can rely on the points going forward.
Arsenal.
Trippier earlier on in the season, I'll give you that.
Yeah, but even then, it wasn't really a clean sheet thing.
No, you couldn't guarantee it, could you?
It was assist, wasn't it? It was like attacking threat from him.
Like you say, it's only Arsenal.
It's only really Arsenal. Because even Man City have been terrible. Like, I think, it's been really hard to pick defenders in FPL, and that's basically why everyone's been going for people like Pedro Porro. In a normal FPL season, Pedro Porro would not be as popular an FPL pick as he has been.
Just your quick thoughts then on the super chat that we had from David. Dubravka. From David. So Dubravka with Pope coming back.
Yeah.
Concern, right?
For absolutely. Dubravka owners, I mean, Howe came out and said Pope will have to earn his spot back. Fair enough. It's been out for a long time. Yeah. But with, 3 matches to go between now and the end of the season, you're not telling me that Nick Pope's not in Eddie Howe's ear going, Euros, I would like to go with England.
Yeah.
And wanting some minutes. I honestly think that there's a good chance that in double game week 37, Dubravka starts one and Pope starts one.
Wouldn't surprise me,
Because Pope is their first choice goalkeeper. I know Dubravka's done a really good job, but they are, as we've just said, without a lot of their defenders, they're slipping up and letting in silly old goals here and there. It would not surprise me to see Pope get one of the starts across that double game week.
Yeah, not good. But from a Newcastle perspective, good, right? Anthony Gordon, even with the 6, with an assist. So
what's that? Anthony Gordon with an assist away from home?
Anthony Gordon with an assist away from home. Isak proving that he has got the mentality to be... I think
he is
honestly,
quality. Can he come play for Spurs? That's exactly what we need in
honestly,
number 9.
Eyes on him for next year. Yeah. Honestly. He's one...
Would you take him over Darwin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. At the moment. Yeah, absolutely. Especially as Liverpool are going to be, it's unknown, isn't it? Yeah. Start of next season. What's Arnie Slot going to do? Who's his preferred
player? Can't talk about Arnie Slot yet. Arnie Slot said.
Well, whatever, of course. But, all right, new manager, let's say. Picking Liverpool players at the beginning in FPL next year, this is what's going to be interesting. If Liverpool's first 5 or 6 fixtures next year are looking really good on the ticker, it's going to be like, well, we want them, but we don't know who we want and how we want
them. We don't know what's happening with Salah, whether Salah's staying or going. There's so much that could happen.
But anyway, Newcastle and Isak in particular, yes, I will be looking to see what his price is for next year.
Mm.
I'm almost hoping they don't get European football, because another season without no European football for them, and I think they could do really, really well. And I like him a lot, Isak. And it was great mentality for him to miss a penalty and then immediately, like 3 minutes later, score a goal.
Totally.
That's him saying, and by the way, I didn't like the fact he missed the penalty because I got him in my team. But then I think his EO in and around me was like 96% or something.
Okay,
so it barely made
a big difference.
But still...
Popular.
I wanted to see him tuck it away.
Any interest in the double up with Wilson?
Well, maybe. Because I can see why people would think that.
Because this time last year, if we think back, it was Callum Wilson that really. He ended my season with an absolute bang. And
got 4 goals in a game, didn't he? That's something ridiculous.
In a double, yeah, 37. Yeah. And he was my captain, wasn't he? And it was unbelievable. And
So George is saying, would you bring in Wilson or Isak? So if you had a straight choice now.
I think if you've got a straight choice, I still would go for Isak.
Penalties and stuff, right?
But also Callum Wilson, I think there'll be some protection going on, won't there? He's been out for a long time. Do we really think he gets both starts across the double? Probably not. But if you've got your free hit for 37, if you're like me and you're chasing and, you know, you're going to have to be boring with the captaincy because Haaland's on a bounce, then maybe looking at somebody like a Callum Wilson isn't a terrible idea because I like the fixtures. I know that they're both away from home, which is not... Oh no, one's at home.
Yeah, Newcastle fixtures, Brighton at home.
That's right.
And then, in fact, that we should do them and Villa next. Then Man United away and then Brentford away. So, yeah, it's a double and then a reasonable-looking fixture, sorry, George, in the final game week.
So I think for me, you could feasibly double up on them. A lot of people might be locked out of that as well because a lot of people will find themselves already with three, with Dan Byrne, Anthony Gordon, Isak.
Yeah.
You'd be locked out of the Wilson thing. And Wilson's ownership is...
I don't see
me changing that. No, and why would you? Because you're trebled up on a team that's got a doubled game week. So you're not going to change the way that you're invested, particularly as... They're good assets to have picked from, right?
Yeah.
But Callum Wilson, if you can get Callum Wilson, I don't think that is a terrible shout, you know, for the final three
games. Don't mind it. Any other Newcastle assets catching your eye? I thought Bruno Guimarães had a good game, although I don't think you're picking him over Isak, Gordon, etc., etc. Those are the ones to go for, aren't they?
Agreed.
Burnley, from their perspective, I thought O'Shea actually played pretty well. Got the goal. Was top in the Fantasy Football Scout members area for on the CBI index on the clearances, blocks and interceptions. He was top throughout the whole game week. So actually had a decent game and probably didn't deserve to be on the losing team. But that... is all I'm going to say about Burnley because we are not looking at their assets at all. At all.
No.
I was going to go? Brighton. So Brighton are probably, if you are looking at anybody other than Haaland for captaincy in game week 37, there's a reasonable chance you're looking at Isak. And the reason you'll be looking at Isak is because Brighton at St James's Park looks like such a nice fixture for him. Yeah. We know what they're like at St James's, Newcastle. Does this result put you off of that at all? Brighton 1, Aston Villa 0.
No. I think, one, for me, this was the shock of the weekend, this result. In my head, sorry Az, thought that Aston Villa would go here and absolutely turn Brighton over. Brighton have been so poor this season, for a lot of this season. Partly that's been through injury, but also the Aston Villa record at Brighton is ridiculous. Like, it's really good. And so I was thinking, I just can't see anything beyond this. I think the Thursday night game for Aston Villa has had a big impact here.
Massively.
Because...
Massively, massively.
Because obviously, you know, they aren't out of it because there's another fixture to come, but it's the away fixture to come. They're behind. They're going to have to put all effort into that. And the league, I think, even without a win today, they've locked fourth. We're not catching them into fourth.
No.
We're just not. We've got to win our last three matches and hope they don't. Like, it's just not a feasible thing. So
they looked absolutely like they were running on fumes, Villa.
They were.
Like, they were so leggy and so... But
you can understand why, though.
Mega semi-finals.
And they lost Rodgers, didn't they, today? He went off
injured.
Yeah,
he was the one providing the legs recently. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so they were struggling today. But this... So I think this said more... And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to Brighton, but I think this result said more about where Aston Villa were in terms of their recovery from Thursday and it going into next Thursday than it did about Brighton. And I'm looking at the fixtures that Brighton have over this double game week, Newcastle and Chelsea for them. Just both teams in really good forms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just think that Brighton lose both of those two games. And, you know, this was a good result for them. No disrespect meant to Brighton at all. And obviously you had Pascal Gross as your differential for Fan Zone, which went well.
Yeah, true enough.
So, you know, you picked out another good one there. But I just look at this and think, no. For me, I would still think that Isak is a really nice captaincy option. And I would still also look at Palmer and think, that's also a really nice captaincy option.
Yeah, agreed, agreed. This was...
Surprise.
This was, you know, Aston Villa, you know, do we really have to go all the way to the South Coast between two massive games against Olympiacos? Two of their biggest games in their recent history, right? You know, and they've got a lot to do.
They've got to go and turn it around.
They've got it all to do. They've got to go to Olympiacos with a two-goal deficit.
Yeah.
And I back them to do it, but, you know, on the, having watched them in this game and how leggy they were and how, you know... Yeah, not. I was going to say unfit. It's not unfit, but they've had a long, hard slog of a season, and
it's been a lot of matches for Aston Villa.
Yeah, it definitely has. And even the penalty, you know, Konsa, Adringa was giving Konsa all sorts of issues all day, and I noticed Adringa actually showed up quite well in the members area for shots. Yeah, here we are, four shots, so that's fifth in the game week. So he was good, Adringa. Mm. I liked him. It was a good performance, and he gave Konsa nightmares. And it wasn't a surprise to see. Actually, that's where the penalty came from. Another penalty miss for João Pedro. Got a bit lucky with the rebound. Although, good composure, you should say.
And also, that's what you want, isn't it? If you miss the penalty, go follow it in.
Fair play to him. I think the answer to the original question is, don't let this 1-0 to Brighton, I don't think, don't let this put you off Captain Isak next week, what you're thinking.
If Brighton are going to do it anywhere, they do it at home. They've not been great on their travel, so
yeah, totally.
I won't worry about them going to St James's Park.
Couple more games to cover, Sam. Let's do Chelsea 5, West Ham 0, a game that wasn't on TV here in the UK. We had to watch the Brighton Villa game instead, which is a bit of a shame. Fair play to Nicholas Jackson owners. That's another one I've got wrong, unfortunately, on my wildcard 35. I went for Watkins because... I just fancied the player that scored 19 goals this season, rather than Jackson, who misses every game.
Who we said was Darwin Mark too.
But that was a big one. That was a big error for me this season. That's probably cost me, I would say, probably 15 to 20k's worth of rank because that's two goals and an assist, and he got something last game week, didn't he, Jackson?
He did, but Lee, there was nothing. The only reason to go for Jackson ahead on your wild card was the fact that he had two additional fixtures. There was nothing about his performances.
That's quite a big reason.
Yeah, but there was nothing about his performances or his form that made that look like a sensible decision. It was literally a roll of the dice. He's got two additional fixtures. Can he get more in that period of time? And at a time where Aston Villa had nice fixtures as well, like Chelsea at home, that's a great fixture for them on paper. Surprise result, you know. And then same this week, like Brighton, that's a great fixture on paper. Had you thought about it maybe with the European stuff, possibly you do something different. But in reality, I'm not sure that even looking back on it, it's just a roll of the dice if you don't want to go for a double game week player. But we are where we are.
Yeah, I think in actual fact, a lot of the Jackson owners were looking at, double game week here, double game week here, forgetting that in 36, they got this. This was a plum tie, right? Yeah. There's the plum tie, home to West Ham. West Ham in all sorts of, you know, end of season. The flip-flops have been out for a few weeks, haven't they, at West Ham? Also, David Moyes is on his way out, isn't he? Let's be honest, right? They've not said, but he is. They're already bloody interviewing Lopetegui and others, right?
Didn't he say something today about wanting to stay in football? Like, if you can't talk about wanting to stay in football when you're an actual Premier League manager with a job.
Well, I think the writing's on the wall, Mr. Moyes at West Ham. So... you know, going into half-time, you know, whatever they were down, 2 or 3, I can't imagine there was much of a rallying cry. And I can't imagine there was much from the players going, oh, yeah, we really want to fight for our place under this manager.
No.
Because he's not going to be here next year. So I think us, you know, I've definitely got that one wrong, no doubt. On my wildcard 35, I looked at it and went, well, despite the extra games, you know, I still fancy Watkins. But I missed this one. This was the one, 36. Look at it. Absolutely smashed them. And Chelsea... weirdly, because it's come a little bit out of nowhere, I have to say. I don't know whether you agree. They found some form, actually.
No.
They've just got a little bit of a last end-of-season spurt on it.
It is a bizarre one to me. Because
it's come out of nowhere a little bit, isn't it?
It's like... I don't know. It's like Fernandes got injured. Enzo Fernandes, that is. And then all of a sudden... I'm not saying that the two things are connected. I'm just saying that since that moment... they've been playing the kids. They've had no... I wonder if actually in part, the fact that it's like, we are down to the skeleton, you've got to fight for each other. Maybe there's been a bit of a like, right...
Do you mean he's playing players that actually give a shit about playing for Chelsea rather than Fernandes, who doesn't?
I just think that, you know, you look at Gallagher and his performances lately. You look at Gilchrist and his performances since he's
100%.
Been playing.
Madueke, look at him.
He's suddenly performing really well. Like Palmer. Like these players are suddenly... they're suddenly... care. And they seem to be like, they're working well as a team now. And that's the thing, before it was like, oh, Palmer's missing. Oh, we're rubbish then.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it felt.
Are we Cole Palmer FC or Chelsea FC? It was all that.
Yeah, yeah. And now suddenly it's like, well, yes, Cole Palmer is excellent. Like, there is no doubt that Cole Palmer is excellent. But suddenly the rest of the Chelsea team are actually caring. And
does he start for England, Palmer?
Look, there's still a debate about whether he's even on the plane. And I think, honestly, Lee,
there's no debate.
Well,
that's not a debate.
Lee, there is still a debate.
He takes a good penalty. Get him on a plane.
Don't tell me. I'd take him on the plane tomorrow. But there is still a debate. People are still questioning whether Anthony Gordon should go. Honestly, I think...
I think there's a conversation.
There is not. Anthony Gordon and Cole Palmer should both be on that aeroplane.
Palmer, yes. Gordon, there's a conversation.
They should both be on the aeroplane. They have been truly brilliant for their clubs this season. They should be on that aeroplane. And if Gareth Southgate, if you're listening, you take them both.
Because he definitely will be.
He better be.
I'm going to go back to John Tyner's super chat. Apparently I've missed one. Ooh. I'm going to come to you in just a second, Sam, for your Chelsea options for the double. Their next double coming up in 37. Not just the ones you've got, but who would you have?
I've got three.
Who would you have? So we're going to talk about that in just a second.
One of them.
I'm
going
to scroll back to John. Here we go. Who to sell for Haaland? So John doesn't have Haaland. So it would have had a difficult week this week, John. He's got Solanke, Mateta and Watkins. I think
there must be money in the bank. Is there enough money in the bank to go for?
Well, there must be. Let's assume that there is. Which one of those would you drop?
Solanke, Mateta...
I think going back to the narrative, we'll talk about my team in a minute, because I've carried Watkins for a couple of weeks now when I should have got
Please
Jackson.
Can I just have the fixtures for 37 for those three teams?
You can, yeah, hold on.
Watkins, Solanke and Mateta. Mateta's got
Watkins is home to Brentford. Mateta is Wolves. And Watkins is Liverpool. I think they looked a bit out of puff. I'm thinking of selling Watkins this week. Just spoiler alert for my team later on, and that's not to do with him as a player. That's to do with the fact that they, as a team, look out of gas.
They got to go,
and they got another trip to Greece. Very emotionally and physically draining game. And then what after that?
When's your game? Monday night.
I think it's Monday. Yeah, because they've got that game on Thursday. Now Liverpool, you know, pretty sure they won't want to go to Villa on a Monday night. That sounds like a difficult game, and it is a difficult game. But I'd back us because I just think the pressure's off. And Villa will be knackered.
Who have Bournemouth got?
Bournemouth have got Brentford at home.
Do they have to the end?
Then it's Chelsea away.
I'd sell Dom.
You'd sell Solanke?
I think so. Okay. But Watkins would be in consideration. I'd keep Mateta.
Yeah, okay. All right. Chelsea assets then. Talk to me about the three that you've got and the three that you would have. And are they the same?
I've got Palmer. I would definitely have him.
Palmer's a given.
I've got Petrovic, who I benched this week.
That was an interesting decision. Why did you choose Pickford over Petrovic
because
this week?
Because Bowen. That, honestly...
Because Bowen?
Yeah. But because, honestly, West Ham have been terrible. But Bowen's been good. And they have been getting goals, like they did against Liverpool. They have been scoring. They might be getting poor results, but they have been scoring goals. And Chelsea haven't been defensively that solid. So in my head, I was like, right, I've got Pickford, who's got Luton.
You've got a bit caught up in the Pickford... masterclasses over the last few weeks, haven't you? Because you've got, what, three back-to-back clean sheets?
No, I just thought...
Luton away, difficult game.
Yeah, but I think in reality, Luton or West Ham...
I'd have gone Petrovic, I think. But anyway, so you've got Palmer, you've got Petrovic, and you've got...
Gusto.
You've got Gusto still. So, who did make an appearance, by the way. He came on for 7 minutes,
according to chat.
So he did make an appearance.
Ooh.
So that gives you some hope that he might be involved at some level, let's say.
I didn't realise he did. Oh, that's actually made me feel a lot better.
You have to check that, but that's what the chat
said. Who said that? Is it Harry? Because I trust everything Harry says.
I don't know, the chat.
Yeah, but Harry's a Chelsea fan, that's why. If Gusto made an appearance, that's made me very happy. I'm going to look that up in a minute when you're talking. I think... My issue with Chelsea is that I am obviously blocked from having any other Chelsea assets. And I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking again about differentials. I'm thinking again about how do I move mountains with my team and my rank. The double Chelsea defence actually feels all right for this double game week because there's an opportunity there for some clean sheets, particularly we talked about Brighton earlier. They haven't been scoring a lot of goals. And the other fixture in the double game week also...
Forest and Brighton away.
...is attractive on paper because Forest are in a bit of a... Well, they're in a bit of a funny spot at the moment, aren't they? Where they have to kind of, they're probably safe, but they've probably got to win some more games to make sure of that. Like,
they'll be all right.
I think they will be all right. And Chris Wood loves hitting the bar more than anything else in the world, as he did this weekend. So maybe there's a clean sheet there across that double game week. And Gusto, we do know, has got attacking threat and he will get forward when he's playing. But if I had the choice again, I wouldn't go for Gusto. I would go for another Chelsea attacker. Either, well, I think there's three. I think there's obviously Jackson up top that you can go to if you've got a forward slot available.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem in your midfield, and I can't think who you'd have that would be a problem. Like, if Bruno Fernandes is ruled out of Monday night and then isn't available for the weekend after, then, like, honestly, I think Conor Gallagher's an out there shout. Because he's been so good for the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Really good form, scoring nice goals. You've also got Madawake as well, who you could go for as well. Like, I think if you want to treble up on Chelsea, my preferred would be two of the attacking options rather than the two defenders that I have.
Yeah, fair play.
What do you think?
I think I'm on board with that. I think I'd go Madueke, you know. I just like him. Just the last couple of games I've watched him. And there's a little bit of, and I said this last week, there was a little bit of petulance,
I think. Did come on.
Yeah, he did. Gusto did get 7 minutes, yeah. So, it was a little bit of petulance from Madueke, but I think it just, you know, if as long as that's not going to be a problem for him, he's got all the ability, Madueke. You watch him play, he's good on the ball, he's got an eye for a pass, he can score goals.
The one thing I would say,
good player, is that, like him.
And of all the managers to be under the control of,
yeah,
Poch is not a bad one for that kind of thing. Like, if you think about when Dele Alli was at his best, that was under Poch. Like, he wasn't off the rails at that point. Like, Poch is actually really good with players that have got a bit of a thing. Yeah, I agree.
I must admit, I'm keeping an eye on him. He looks the business.
Because you've only got two. Are you thinking about going Watkins to Jackson then?
Yeah, I am.
Sadly.
And I don't want to do it, but
I get why, though.
The only thing that would make me not do that is a certain Mr. Maguire's injury at the back. And of course, I'm playing my bench boost, so I want 15 playing, don't I? So Maguire's an issue.
Would you not feel like a hit would be?
No, I'd be cool with doing a hit, but if I was going to do it, there's a reasonable chance I'd go for Gusto because he's got some minutes now. Mm. The alternative is then don't go for Gusto because then I'd have, because I've already got Palmer and Petrovic, right? So if I went Gusto, I couldn't then have Jackson.
Yeah.
Or I do Watkins to Jackson, knowing that he's got a double game week. I'll cover the hit. He'll cover the hit just by playing, right? And then I'll do Maguire to somebody else, you know, some other crap defender that I don't want, right, probably. But I don't know who that's going to be.
I mean,
yet.
You could go for a Branthwaite against Sheffield United.
Maybe. I haven't thought that far ahead, but we'll talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
Anything else on Chelsea?
No, because we haven't watched the game. It's made my day that Gusto's appeared. I can't tell you how happy that's made me. I ate Nori started and Gusto's made an appearance. My flags have all gone.
Do we want to say anything about any of these other games?
No.
Brentford, Fulham,
I don't care
sorry,
about
George.
Brentford, Fulham.
Not a lot going on there, mate.
Gusto's fit. That's all I care about.
That's all we care about.
That's it. I'm done. Happy days.
That's all we care about. Right,
I've still got one player to play tomorrow.
You've still got one to go. Good.
Yeah. All right. Mateta. Well,
let's talk about our patron, patreon.com/FPL family. If you'd like some bonus podcasts, manager of the month competitions, Zoom calls with Sam and I about your team, all that good stuff, then patreon.com/FPL family. is the place where you can get all of that. We don't charge our patrons for June and for July. So if you want to come and join us for May and take part in May's Manager of the Month competition, which is going to be game week 37 and 38 only.
Ooh.
Only two game weeks in 37 and 38. So May's competition is completely open. Like, anyone can win it, right? You all start on zero. Everyone starts on a even kill. You can win it, but you can't get the prize.
Oh, yeah.
So two game weeks. Anyone can win. If you want to come and join in for May, knowing that you'll get June and July for free because we don't charge our patrons because not a lot going on in June and July, quite frankly. And then we'll kick it all off again.
It's a massive Euros tournament going on, Lee.
Well, not a lot of FPL, Sam, is what I mean.
But
not
we will be chatting about that in our Patreon Slack, though. So if you do want to come for some Euro
There'll
fantasy
be some Euros
fun,
chat. Yeah,
we
sure.
will definitely be talking Euros fantasy in the Slack chat.
Sure, especially if England do well. We'll definitely be opening a channel for that. and we also should give a shout out to FPL Pat. So Pat from our Patreon supporter community won the April competition. So well done, Pat. No Kane, just Payne. His team coming in with 483 points across the month of April. So well done, Pat. He's chosen, get this, Sam, as his prize, an Ipswich Town shirt. Fair play to Ipswich Town, back in the Premier League after 22 years.
Did you see the tweet that went out about the elite club that they've just joined, about the teams that have gone from up three leagues in three consecutive seasons. And it's like, it's like Man City, Watford. There's like five teams and now Ipswich are part of that special club. Well done to Ipswich for coming back.
Well done to Ipswich. I remember when I was showing my age here, but I remember collecting the Ipswich Town Panini stickers back in the day, 22 years ago.
You're going to be collecting them again this year with Max. The two of you will be collecting those again.
Yeah, there we go.
So we've got two out of three now. We know just waiting for the playoffs to be decided.
Leicester are up, Ipswich are up, and we've got a few in the playoffs.
It's nice quite though, isn't it? Like, I'm glad to have Leicester back. Like, that's a proper Premier League. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really nice to have, like, big names back in the Premier League. Yeah! Leicester are a proper Premier League side. Ipswich, like, old school Premier League side. I like this.
Is it good to have Jamie Vardy back in the league?
Yeah, he'd be having a party, won't he?
I don't think so, not at his age. Right, let's
Madison's
get on
to... Madison's got to play against him next season.
Let's get on to our teams then.
If he ever starts for us again.
Do me first then. 93.
Got a red arrow from that?
Well, because everyone else is on 110 with Nicholas Jackson and Saka. Those are the two, right?
Oh, so, did you have a green arrow last night? You probably did.
Small. So I went from small, from green arrow. The Chelsea games cost me big time, right? Because Palmer... actually, his ego was at 101 or something, 102. So actually, every time Palmer did something, I was missing out. What are you trying to look for?
I couldn't see the numbers. So I was just looking at who they were.
Oh, okay.
From this distance, I couldn't remember who was in your team. So I just had to have a look.
So I got the Haaland captaincy. So I got that, which is good. I got Isak points. Son got some points. There's my Havertz, which, yeah, okay, 5 points for a differential, you'd say, is good. But listen, it was a straight choice between him or Saka in this week. So I've made the wrong choice there. Foden's got points. Palmer's, there's points all over the shop, Sam.
Bench
absolutely
points as
the
well
place.
There.
Even some bench points. The Burn and the Walker clean sheets have cost me. Them conceding, you know, consolation goals in, you know, thrashings, big wins.
Yeah,
and
annoying.
They've just got, you know, they've conceded the consolation goals. So, you know, in most weeks like this, again, same as last week, I look at it and I go, well, all my players have got points. What the hell? Why am I on a red arrow? Everyone's scored points. But... so's every bugger else, including Saka, including Jackson, including
loads
of other players.
But this is what I mean about rolling the dice, right? It's the only way sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm just getting annoyed at looking at my team and going, oh, everyone's got points, must be a good week. Yeah. Oh, red arrow.
Honestly, like, I assumed that you were going to have a green arrow this week. Yeah. I honestly thought that was a no-brainer that you'd have a green this week.
Even the Haaland captain, I'm just like, all right, it's 150-something EO, so, all right, I'm benefiting from that quite a bit, should be. And then bloody Jackson pops up with, you know, two goals and assists. And it's just like, in and around my rank, everyone's bloody got him.
Yeah.
And not everyone's got Saka, actually. In fact, Jackson hurt more than Saka. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Jackson hurt more than Saka. Yeah. So, yeah, I, on paper, I'm like, good week. You know, I was at two consolation goals away from everybody other than Watkins giving me some points. But actually, it's a small red. I don't know how, but it is. And it's going to get worse because I don't have any Crystal Palace and I don't have any Manchester United. So, somehow... I've got 93 and it's a bad week. Explain that. Overrank is 65k, so still fine, right? I'm not, whatever, so it's fine. In terms of next week, yeah, I've got to do something about Maguire now, haven't I? I've got to do something about that. I don't know who I'm going
to
do.
We'll see what Ten Hag's got to say for himself tomorrow night, surely, first.
Yeah.
In case it's just rumours and gossip.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. And then probably Watkins to Jackson, which is going to be a real...
That's going to
be a painful one, that, because I just should have done it in my wild card. But again, this is the thing with FPL, just because, you know, if I do that and it's for a hit because I've already done the Maguire transfer, I'm going to be like 20 odd points down on that decision for the season.
Yeah.
But I can't let that influence the fact that actually it could be and probably is the right move. You know, I can't let the fact that decision's cost me 20 points go, well, I'm just going to carry on with that hurting me.
Yeah.
Maybe for this week, it is the right thing to do to reverse it. And Chelsea's fixtures look good. He's in good form. They're in good form. It kind of makes some sense to do Watkins to Jackson. As much as that's going to be hard to swallow, it's like, just man up and do it, I think. But then, yeah, Maguire, I've got to do something about him probably as well, right? So small red, 65k. We go to the next one. Small red for you as well, 4.7%. But again, look, listen... like, everyone's returning and you've got Mateta still to go, so that probably is going to turn into a small green, hopefully.
What the thing with this is that it's literally the captaincy. That's
yeah,
it.
And that's why the captaincy is such a pain in the ass, right? Because if you'd have got that right...
That's massive green.
You're on what? An extra... So minus five, but plus 21. So 16 extra points with Mateta to go.
100 club, by the way.
101 with Mateta to go, which is really, obviously really nice. So it's just the captaincy, right? You just played the game. And the goalkeeper. Don't know why he did the goalkeeper.
Because I wanted to play Pickford, that's why, Lee.
Yeah, sure.
I don't trust the Chelsea defence, and I still don't trust the Chelsea defence. So hence that. I mean, look, and I benched Gordon, and that was, I thought I'd made a horrible decision until about 80 minutes of the Liverpool-Spurs game when Son popped up with a goal, and I was like, all right, fine. Mateta has got to get a hatful again. If he does, I think I'm like four away from a green arrow. So I need Mateta to return or not start. And I'll have to Gordon off the bench. I'll take either of those two things. But it is a really annoying one because this was an opportunity. I saw this game week. I looked at my team. I really liked it. I thought everybody had the opportunity to do really good things. And they all did, which is what's really annoying to see a red arrow on the back of it. Because I rolled the dice. The dice decided it wasn't the right week to roll the dice. And Haaland thought, I'm going to prove a point, and that's fine. I knew that there was a risk. I took the risk anyway. We are where we are.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, 234K, a couple of weeks to go. Things can still change. Let's get on to what is coming up. Oh, in actual fact, before we do coming up next week, thoughts for your transfers going into next week?
So suddenly all the flags have gone, which is really nice because I was worried about that. So that's actually going to mean I have the choice of what I do if Gusto is back.
Nice, yeah.
So probably my original plan at this point, should everyone be fit, was to sell one of my Arsenal defenders to bring in a double game weeker.
Doesn't feel like
well, clearly
today,
I'm not going to be doing that anymore because Gabriel and Saliba are basically, I mean, they're so good, aren't they? So I'll probably leave them. Maybe I might roll the dice on either Ait Nouri or Mateta.
Okay.
So if I didn't have Gusto, I'd bring in Jackson for Mateta.
Mm.
But because I'm already trebled up on Chelsea, I can't do that. I don't know that there's another forward that I really love.
Yeah, so you've got Isaac Haaland, obviously. Who else would you have other than Jackson?
Because, you know, you may have taken a punt on Werner if he was fit, but he's not.
João Pedro?
I don't really want João Pedro. Haaland. Eyes are on Haaland tomorrow night. If Haaland...
Calvert-Lewin, home to Sheffield United? Single game week?
The amount of grief I've given Az on the Q&As this season for his love affair with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Can you imagine the grief I'd get? I was already getting grief from him today in our WhatsApp chat. So I've left well alone with that. If Hoyland performs well tomorrow, then maybe I might roll the dice on him.
Mm.
The problem with Ait Nouri is there's not really anyone else I want to roll the dice with in this double game week in terms of defenders. Like I've got... I don't have...
Palace at home is actually fine. Do you know what I mean? Especially if he's playing up front.
So I don't know is the answer to your question. Mm. Because I thought I was going to have a flag problem to deal with. But yeah. Now I don't appear to have a flag problem to deal with. And I don't want to sell my Arsenal players.
Yeah.
So we will see. Maybe Mateta to Hoyland. Maybe Mateta to just another single game week if I think there's a better option. But if he goes off tomorrow again, then Mateta. I'm not going to sell him.
Yeah, which he might, right?
Which he might.
All right. There we go. So a couple of small red arrows, which at this stage of the season is not great, but I definitely am. I'm just suffering from the decisions of my past. That's my problem.
Oh, I'm just going mental.
The wild card in 35, taking Saka out has cost me. Not going with Jackson has cost me. I should have been even more tempered.
You're like Ebenezer Scrooge. You're being haunted by decisions of FPL past.
I am, and it's not like it's massively hurting my rank because I'm sort of sticking in and around sort of 50 to 60K. But that's where it could have been.
I know.
The wild card hasn't really. You play the wild card, you hope you get the jump, and my wild card has just stop me having a slump, basically. It's just kept me status quo, and it's not really what you want from a one.
So you're living in the past, and I'm just basically punching myself in the face.
Something like that. Yeah,
it's basically what's
like
happening.
What's coming up this week?
Well, loads, actually. So you and the constantly mentioned on this stream, FPL Harry, are reviewing game week 36 on Off the Bench this week.
He will be happy.
He will be happy as well. You'll both be going in happy.
Yes.
So Lee and Harry on Off the Bench, that's on Tuesday morning this week. You'll be able to catch me with the intolerable Jules Laurent, and Kelly, she'll be just as bad actually because she's had an absolute stormer of a game. You might just catch them too on the pod this week, particularly as we've got to record it really late on Wednesday night as well because Jules is off travelling the world with PSG this week. So we've got that coming up. I will be on the FPL show on Friday. Please, Mateta, I need a green arrow to go back on that show. And then on Saturday morning, you'll be able to catch us both on Sky. So it's like an incredibly busy week where we've got Off the Bench on Tuesday, the main pod on Wednesday, the fantasy show on Friday, and then Sky on Saturday. And then we will be back with our live stream on Sunday, the penultimate one of the official season until we then round it up.
Obviously. When do we do the pre-season predictions?
The final week.
The finale.
The final.
Do we know where they are? Because we've had a bit of a reshuffle in here, haven't we? Is it up in the cupboard up there?
Yeah, in my cupboard.
So guys, look out for that. Not next week, because we'll be obviously here reviewing game week 37 and where we're at, and there'll be other games still to go and all that sort of good stuff.
We'll be late that last week as well.
Will we? Why?
Yeah, because Evie's got her dancing show till 4.
Oh, bloody
hell.
Well,
at 4, hasn't she? And it's that one where they go at the end. It's the final show of the weekend where they give out all the...
What are you looking at?
What was that noise? Where they give out all the like the prizes and all that jazz.
Right.
So God knows what time I'm going to...
So are we going to be missing the finale of the Premier League season again?
No, dear. Because being the really great wife that I am to you, I booked us tickets to go and see her show on the Saturday. And I took one for the team where you're going to take Max to his football tournament. So you'll be home to watch the final games
Excellent
of the season.
News.
And I were watching her in one of the shows and then helping backstage in the other. So I'll be on Sky Go. Good job Spurs aren't in the hunt for anything.
Good job. You've got nothing to play for. No doubt about it.
Good job. I'm a nice wife.
Well, there we go, guys. We'll see you this time next week. 8:30, 9 o'clock. We're having a little bit of, you know, sometimes the kids get to bed early. If sometimes they don't, it's not a school night tonight because we've got a bank holiday here in the UK. So he went to bed a little bit later, hence the 9 o'clock. So thanks for bearing with us. Normally it will be 8:30.
It'll be 8:30 next week.
It's sometimes
9
o'clock.
The week after it'll be 9.
But yeah, 8:30, Sunday nights, as usual. We'll be back next week talking about where we're at with game week 37. There will be games still to play when we go live. So it'll be a kind of, you know, a bit of a check and balance of what's gone on in game week 37.
I'm off to torture myself at Spurs again.
We'll also be looking ahead to the final game week, to game week 38. And then a couple of weeks from now... fortnight from now, Sam, we'll be sitting here. We'll know whether it's City or Arsenal.
City.
We'll be reviewing and revealing our pre-season predictions that have been locked away for 38 game weeks.
Uh-oh.
I got a feeling I'm a bit uh-oh as well with some of mine.
Mine were so bad last year, do you remember?
Well, they were a bit bad,
And also, do you remember that we have to also... Maybe I should be allowed to change mine because I think our golden boot stuff, we did it before a certain person left the league.
You put Harry Kane golden boot?
Almost certainly.
Amazing.
He did get the golden boot. Just in Germany.
Just in a different league, yeah.
That counts. I think I should still get a point for that.
Thank you all for joining us tonight, guys. Leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe if you're new to the channel, and we'll see you next Sunday. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everyone.